You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. As always, on the control boards, and I'm all tangled up right now. Seriously, I am pretty much tangled up here with the headphones and everything. Got here right on time, right on schedule and everything, so to give you the best radio show we ever get here on the Community Living Show, here on our flagship stations, Co-op Radio and CITR 101.9 FM. On this edition, Dan Yard's going to be coming in just a few moments to talk about some of his topics that he's going to bring us, which I'm trying to describe of what the program show is all about. I'll leave it to Dan to leave on his CD that I have received right now. So on with the show, and here is Dan Yard with a program that he has made onto the show. So, here we go.
Welcome to The Human Condition on the Community Living Show Special Edition. We're coming to you from CITR 101.9 FM and online at citr.ca. We're located at the University of British Columbia in beautiful Vancouver, BC. Also, our sister station, Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at cooperadio.org, as well as other stations on the NCRA network. My name is Dan Yard. Today we're going to talk about a particular disease which afflicts millions of people the world over. Some of these people are in our families, others are our workmates, and still others include our favorite entertainers, actors, musicians, many people you know but may not be aware that they are dealing with this problem on a daily basis. The disease is diabetes. We'll talk about Dr. David Andrews' Diabetes Destroyer program. Also, we're going to get some first-hand feedback from a Vancouver teacher and store manager who has had to deal with this disease most of his life and how it led to him having first a kidney transplant a few years ago and more recently a pancreas transplant. John Myung, a man in his early 40s, really in the prime of his life, and now free of having to deal with diabetes, will also talk to us about his work with special needs children with the Surrey School Board. Have you been recently diagnosed with diabetes? Do you feel like it's the end of the world? Most people go into a state of denial and think that ignoring the problem will make it go away. Let's talk about someone who did deal with it and led a very successful life. Let's talk about the Queen of Soul actually, Aretha Franklin, herself a diabetes sufferer. This singer-songwriter, despite being an insulin-dependent diabetic, has a staggering 20 Grammy Awards, including the Lifetime Achievement Grammy and the Living Legend Grammy. Additionally, she has achieved 20 number one hit singles, including this one, Respect. Aretha, you have our respect. Aretha Franklin, a diabetes sufferer and incredibly successful vocalist entertainer. Thanks for the great music, Aretha, over the years. Now, accepting the fact that you have diabetes is learning to understand the condition so that with the help of your doctor, dietitian, and diabetes educator, you can be in better control of yourself and your diabetes. Keep in mind that you are not alone in this battle. With India on the verge of becoming the diabetes capital of the world, did you know there are more than 40 million diabetics in India alone? As we will see, diabetes is not restricted just to the common man either. It's movie stars, sports stars, other celebrities suffer from this disease and yet are still able to live active and glamorous lifestyles. We'll get to know some of these later in the show. Today, there are 11 million Canadians living with diabetes. In fact, every 3 minutes, another Canadian is diagnosed. As we have mentioned, chances are that diabetes affects you or someone you know. Now, what is diabetes? Let's break it down. The most common form is type 2 diabetes, in which the body either cannot produce insulin or cannot properly use the insulin it produces. What is insulin? Okay, well, the body needs insulin to use sugar as an energy source. Insulin is a hormone, and we all have it in our bodies. It controls the amount of sugar in the blood. So having diabetes leads to high blood sugar levels, which in turn can cause damage to organs such as the kidneys or the pancreas. Are you following me so far here? Now, the pancreas controls the amount of sugar in the blood by releasing insulin into the digestive system. Now, type 1 diabetes attacks the pancreas. Therefore, very little or no insulin is released into the body. John Myung, because of dealing with diabetes, has had both a kidney transplant and a pancreas transplant in the past couple of years. And All of this while holding down two jobs. John is a teacher for the Surrey School Board. He works with special needs kids. Also a manager for Pizza Hut in South Surrey.
He recently had the pancreas transplant.
Yeah.
So how has that affected your overall well-being and energy level?
Like, I think with my energy level, it's kind of like almost the same. The only thing that the pancreas transplant gave me was the freedom of not having to give myself the insulin shot, not having to worry about carb counting and having to adjust my insulin level and then giving myself the shots. I mean, having to do that every day, plus poking myself in the finger to test my blood like 3 to 5 times a day. I don't have to do that anymore. So really, ultimately, it's given me a freedom of not having to do all that anymore. So I could, I still watch what I eat. I still, still exercise. I still do what I have done, but now I don't have to worry about testing my sugars to see how high it is or how low it is and stuff like that. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
That cumbersome routine of the insulin shots. Yeah. Of course, you had the kidney transplant a couple of years ago. We spoke to you then. Prior to that, of course, you were dealing with a life of dealing with diabetes.
Yes.
And then you had the kidney transplant. Right. Now, that must have started the process back towards sort of a normal life.
Absolutely. The kidney transplant gave me my life back.
Yeah.
Gave me an opportunity to live my life all over again, almost. A second chance of life. And ultimately, how great is that? Like, how grateful, how humbling can that be? That's just,
Now, as we know, we've been talking about this on the show here. Millions of people the world over are affected by diabetes. It's quite astounding how many people, millions of people. Now, people from all walks of life. Yeah. Many were suddenly diagnosed at different stages of their lives. When were you first diagnosed?
I was diagnosed probably at the age of, 11 or 12. Well, I think it was grade 7, quite young. And I remember having to go to Children's Hospital and staying there for a few weeks and going through tests and then seeing a dietitian and then them showing me how to take my insulin and, first practicing with an orange.
So at that age, 11 years old, 10, 11, 12, that's, as you're just entering your teens, your puberty, how did that affect your attitude as a kid,
As a kid, I was angry. I obviously didn't want it. I haven't accepted it as a child. It's really hard for a child to accept that they have this condition and that their life is now changed and they have to do certain things in order for them to live a healthier life.
And being denied things that you see
your friends are going trick-or-treating and have a bag of candy and you're like, what? I can't have any of that? How unfair is that?
So you kind of tend to reject it and not want to
deal with it
or accept it.
Accept it,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, after you got into the routine, you started to deal with it. You realized you had to deal with it. So you're dealing with the insulin shots.
Yes.
And as you worked your way into your teens and your 20s and you started your working life.
Right.
Now, how did these insulin shots affect your working life? Now,
it's tough.
You were holding down two jobs. Yeah. Now, you're working for Pizza Hut as a manager in South Surrey. And you're also working with the Surrey School Board.
Yeah.
Working two jobs, that's a busy life.
It is a busy life.
And you were still dealing with the
all that through. When my kidney was failing, I had to go through dialysis. I had to go to the hospital every 3 times a week, having to do that for I think it was a couple hours. You went in for the treatment and basically, I held down two jobs and I carried on as life as nothing was really wrong, but obviously there was, right?
Obviously there was. Yeah. So now you've mentioned before that you actually managed to get a dialysis machine at home.
Yeah. Which... So during the summertime, what happened was the hospital got me to do some training to do it myself. So I needled myself. I set up the machine. I did all that myself, and basically they trained you, and after you were fully trained and knew what you were doing, they set the whole machine up in your house, in your bedroom. Oh. They did all the plumbing, the machine, everything. No kidding. Yeah, it was just amazing.
So that freed up, like, you having to go to drop into the clinic.
Right, rather than doing that, I, like, before I went to bed, I hooked myself up, did it overnight, woke up, turned it off, cleaned my machine, and went to work. So, I mean, because of that, I think I was able to do my two jobs, and I felt, able to do it, both of those.
Get a lot
otherwise,
more done.
Yeah, draining.
So obviously at some point you started to have, you touched on it, started to have kidney failure. Now, is this like a natural process, I guess?
I think that's one of the things that, like, the things that when you have diabetes, these are one of the things, plus probably many other things like blindness, like amputation, other things things that can happen when you have diabetes, and kidney failure is one, and it's huge. A lot of people with type 1 diabetes have kidney failure in their life.
And so they put you on a waiting list to get a kidney. How long did you have to wait?
I think I waited about a year and a bit. Yeah, and I got on, and I was able to
So you got the kidney transplant.
Right.
And then what happened with the
pancreas? So after that, what happened was they wanted me to get the kidney right away because obviously you need that organ in order to live, right? So that was the first thing on the thing. And after that, they said, you know what, you're still young, you're still healthy, you're a perfect candidate for the pancreas.
Okay.
Did you want one? And, you know, they asked me if I wanted it. Now, how can I say no? How can I say yes? It's like someone giving you a brand new house. Like, you know what I mean? And saying, do you want this? Like, you know, how can you not say no?
How old are you, John?
I'm 41. I just turned 41.
41.
So, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, you're sort of like, in the prime of your life.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So the pancreas was offered to you.
Right.
And, of course, because you'd had the kidney transplant,
right,
it makes you, it puts you automatically on the list.
On the list, right.
And so how long was the wait for the pancreas?
4 years after my...
It was 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Usually what they do is they give you both at the same time, but it just didn't work out that way.
I see.
In my condition, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your work with the school board. You're working with special needs.
Yeah, so I work with kids with special needs in the classroom, and basically I support him or her. Right now I'm supporting a grade 3 kid, and he's he has a bunch of different challenges, as you can say. He has epilepsy, he has he has autism, and he has when one side of your body is weaker than the
paralysis,
other. I can't remember right now. It's not registering in my brain, but I can't remember. But anyways, I support him in the classroom, and we have a education plan for him, and we work towards his goals, and he's doing awesome.
How old is he?
He's great. He's 8, I would say, because he's in grade 3.
He's in grade 3. So are you assigned these special assignments?
Yeah, it's kind of like you're assigned to one kid, but then things change. And, it could change or it might not change. It's all up to what happens in after the next year. But yeah, next year, I just found out that I will be back in that school and I will be working.
Well, that's
with
awesome.
The same kid. Yeah.
So that's very rewarding.
It is.
So you're working basically with elementary
right now
kids.
I am, yeah.
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 And whatever grade they happen to be, you help them with their studies. And
And there sometimes it's life skill. It all depends on what their specific plan or specific goals are. That, you know, and we discuss that with their parents and, you know, teachers and everyone else. Yeah, okay. We have a little discussion before the school.
That's awesome. Yeah, so, in the beginning of the year. It helps them to sort of fit in.
Yeah, integrate that or be part of the same regular classroom, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's great. That's very cool. So, in general, then, you've had two. You were dealing with diabetes. You had two transplants.
Right.
And now.
Yep.
It's been some time since the pancreas transplant.
Right.
Now it's settled in. How are you feeling?
Do
you feel like you finally perhaps entered the land of the living finally?
Yeah. Like absolutely. I feel like I don't know. Every day I think it's almost like a different outlook on life almost, you know, in a sense of, you know, of gratitude and of just, you know, humility of, you know, just being so grateful that, you know, I had this opportunity to be living again. Like, you
just
know what I mean?
Appreciating life.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I wouldn't see how you wouldn't you know, but for me anyways, that's how I look at life now. I look at it in a total different, you know, I look at it as a gift rather than just something that you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most people, most of us who don't have to deal with special problems.
Right.
Other than the normal
you know, normal stress
of
life.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We kind of take things for granted.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And don't, you know, I have stresses, you know, life stresses happening every day, but, you know, I look at it differently. It's almost a different pair of glasses, you know. You look at it and you're like, you know what, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that bad. It's like, you know, there could be a lot. I could be, you know, I could not be experiencing it this way.
Well, that's actually a good lesson for everybody in general. Well, thanks for stopping by,
absolutely.
John, and updating
you.
Us with your situation there.
For sure.
And we hope that the information that John passes on here is an encouragement to everybody out there. Just appreciating life, appreciating what we have.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much,
Thank
John.
You,
okay.
Dad.
Have a good day there.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're listening to a special edition of the Community Living Show hosted by Dan Yard, has some special guests. And of course, the topic was very interesting on diabetes and stuff. We'll come back with more in a moment. We've got more clips of Dan Yard and his special guests in a moment. You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio networks on both stations, Co-op Radio and CITR 101.9 FM.
Interested in more vibrant public spaces and less car traffic? On June 18th and 19th, Car Free Day will once again reclaim parts of Main Street, Commercial Drive, Denman Street, and blocks of Kitsilano to bring Vancouver one of its biggest community street festivals. But it will take the efforts of hundreds of volunteers to make it happen. Join us and volunteer for an inclusive, people-powered, family-friendly street festival. To sign up, please visit our website at carfreevancouver.org. No experience is necessary. Just be ready to meet great people, have lots of fun, and become part of Vancouver's future.
This Canada Day, celebrate by making a difference with the Run Canada Day at Westbrook Village. This 5K or 10K run in Pacific Spirit Park is the only run-walk event in Vancouver on Canada Day, with a free barbecue and a 4-foot cake afterwards. Register at runcanadaday.com and all the proceeds from the event will be donated to Canadian Diabetes and the BC Children's Hospital. UBC students, make sure to use the promo code RUNWESTBROOK to get a $5 discount off the registration price. Come celebrate and run with your community this Canada Day.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. Of course, two stations, Co-op Radio and CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to continue on with Dan Yard as our special guest host while Michael Rubin is away doing his thing called the One Step Program, which he's doing a project from Vancouver to Banff. Anyways, back on to the show.
Suffered for many years with diabetes and actually died from diabetes-related complications. Here's Johnny Cash on CITR 101.9 FM and Co-op Radio 100.5 FM Vancouver.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on CITR 101.9 FM.
And streaming online at CITR.ca and also on Co-op Radio. Thank you very much for people to the half of the show. We will be back again next week at the same time. And do stay tuned for upcoming shows that are on the half-hour program. We'll be back again. Next week, and of course, stay tuned for other shows. And of course, stay tuned for the hour show that is coming up in a few moments. We got the station ID that is coming up right now, so we'll be back with station ID in just a moment.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show. I am, of course, Kelly Rayburn on the controls. You're tuned in to the full hour show on the NCRA Radio Networks and on CITR 101.9 FM, our flagship station. We're back with more clips from Dan Yard. He's going to do some bit of station ID right now.
Online at CITR.ca. Also, Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and online at cooperadio.org. Also along the NCRA network. My name is Dan Yard. Today, we're talking about diabetes and how it affects millions of people worldwide. Many in our community, people you know, perhaps family members, workmates, are people who entertain us, well-known celebrities who carry on busy, productive lives while dealing with the intrusive routine of daily insulin shots associated with diabetes. Halle Berry, The Oscar-winning actress was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 23 when she suddenly collapsed on the set of a TV show. The actress then went on to win numerous awards and even an Oscar in 2001. In 2007, she gave birth to a baby girl. She says, "Diabetes turned out to be a gift. It gave me strength and toughness because I had to face reality, no matter how uncomfortable or painful it was." Here's Halle Berry in her own words talking about diabetes.
I'm Halle Berry, and as a new mom, I can tell you that childhood is a magical time. But for children with diabetes, life isn't quite so carefree. These kids are reaching for the brass ring, a cure for the epidemic which afflicts 23 million Americans. The Barbara Davis Center for Childhood Diabetes is fighting hard to find a cure. Know the signs: irritability, excessive urination, weight loss. If you have any of these signs, please call your doctor. Early detection can save your life.
That was actress Halle Berry speaking on her own terms about diabetes and the warning signs that you or someone you know may be experiencing with regard to coming down with a disease. As we have mentioned, she was suddenly overcome with the full impact of diabetes while doing her work as an actress. It could happen to anyone. And I should mention, we at CITR and Co-op Radio are not necessarily endorsing the Barbara Davis Center for Diabetes Research in LA, but merely passing information on to our listeners. The King, the Queen, and the Godfather, all affected by diabetes. Let me explain. Now, we've heard from the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. What about the King? Elvis Presley, known as the King of Rock and Roll. Now, he never publicly admitted the fact that he was a diabetic, but went on leading a very high-profile life, as we know. Did diabetes shake him up? Sometimes? Perhaps. That we'll never know. Here's a classic from the King, Elvis Presley, the diabetic.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own 2 feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and her love so fine. She touched my hand and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah. I'm all shook up.
The King himself, Elvis Presley, a diabetic. Now we're talking about diabetes today on the Community Living Show and the many celebrities afflicted with the disease. Now for those of you who are American Idol fans, you may have noticed a change in American Idol judge Randy Jackson from when the show first went on the air to its conclusion. The singer and Grammy Award-winning producer was obese, had a family history of diabetes and is African American. The three major risk factors for diabetes. He was actually diagnosed with type 2 diabetes sometime during the show's 10-year run and managed to shed 100 pounds with regular exercise and diet. Here's Randy Jackson talking about his own personal battle with diabetes.
You're here to talk about a really important subject. And earlier in the show, we were talking about things that people are embarrassed about in their lives. But you even admit, when you look back at American Idol years ago, you see someone different, don't you?
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, I look back at the first couple of seasons, and I'm like, whoa, what was going on? I mean, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes around that time, and it always happens to somebody else. Even though it ran in my family, my dad had it, I never thought it would happen to me. So I remember I thought I had a cold. I couldn't quench my thirst. I was tired. I was lethargic. I didn't know what was happening. I called the doctor, and he's like, well, I don't know. It doesn't sound like a cold or flu. Come in. He checked me out. I said, no, it's not that. Give it a couple of days. If you don't feel better in a couple of days, let's check in and see. That was the weekend. Met him at the emergency room, and my blood sugar was over 500. So,
anything over 100, if you haven't eaten in a while, is starting to get into a range of worrisome signs of diabetes. Sure. So you knew right then and there. They said, Randy, you have diabetes.
Must admit, the doctor had been telling me before, diet, exercise, you got to get your life and your health together because the health is wealth, as these guys know. And I just didn't adhere to that, and I have now an incurable disease that he said, look, you can manage it, but it's going to take some work. Now, will you listen? And, you know, finally I did, you know, and it's one of those factors you don't know. You don't know that people with type 2 diabetes are at 2 to 4 times higher risk of developing stroke or heart disease or just so many other ailments. You know, so many things that you learn that you didn't think that you wanted to know, but now that you have this disease, you gotta do it.
Well, Randy, who had ballooned to 355 pounds, got on the program and lost 110 pounds through diet and exercise. Again, we talk about acceptance, then taking necessary steps. Now, we've been talking about the many celebrities with diabetes. You wouldn't expect sports heroes to come down with a disease. Those who already, for the most part, have a good diet and exercise program in place, but that's not always the case. Billie Jean King, women's tennis star, who was instrumental in breaking down barriers for women athletes in general, came down with type 2 diabetes as recently as 2007 at age 64. Okay, her career was long over. She'd been living the good life. She put on some weight. But after being diagnosed, she got on the Nutrisystem program, lost 35 pounds, and actually became a spokesperson for the company. Billie Jean King, a diabetic. Who knew? Larry King, broadcasting legend and TV interviewer, was diagnosed with diabetes in the mid-90s. This was after he had suffered a heart attack and underwent bypass surgery in 1987, which inspired him to quit smoking and start a healthier routine. Getting diabetes was a surprise. Says King, I was already exercising. I was pretty much watching my diet. So then I figure, what? Now I get diabetes? Larry King actually experienced an attack while he was on the air interviewing Betty Ford. She asked me if I was okay, says King. Well, I thought, no, I'm not okay. I feel like I'm going to faint. A shocker. Larry King getting a diabetes attack in the middle of an on-air interview. Now, we've been talking about celebrities or people who came down with diabetes later on in life. Here's a singer who was diagnosed with diabetes at age 13. Now, diet, exercise, and an insulin pump strapped around his waist that delivers insulin throughout the day is what allows Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers to lead as normal a life as possible. Here's an interesting interview. Larry King, the diabetic, talking to Nick Jonas, the diabetic.
Nick Jonas, diabetes, were in this fight. What were your symptoms? You were diagnosed at age 13, right?
Almost, yeah, age 13. My brother's
what were your symptoms?
brothers and I were on tour. We were in the beginning stages of our career, and we were doing a school tour. So we'd basically roll up into a school and play, you know, for the kids in the auditorium. And it was usually around 8 a.m., so they weren't quite ready for a rock show that time. But I started to notice that I was losing weight. I lost about 15 pounds in 2 weeks, and I only weighed about 110 pounds at the time. So I dropped about 95 pounds, and I was drinking a lot of water, using the bathroom a lot, and just overall had a really bad attitude, and didn't know why, because I'd usually, been quite a happy person, but I was just in a really bad spot. And so I went to my parents and I said, look, I think there's something really wrong. And, they said, okay, we'll take you to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and she said, you know, your blood sugar is over 700. It's approaching 800 quickly, and you need to go straight to the hospital.
That's extraordinarily high.
Yeah, it was such an uncomfortable feeling, because the thing about the high blood sugar for me is that, it's really a point of feeling like I'm going to collapse the whole time. And I was at this point for, it must have been 2 or 3 weeks, and I was days away from a coma.
Were you scared?
Extremely scared. At the beginning, I didn't know anything about diabetes. I'd never known anyone that had it, and so it came as a real shock. And diabetes sounds like you're going to die when you hear it, and so I was immediately frightened. But once I got a better idea of what it was and that it was something that I could manage myself, I was comforted.
Give me your day-by-day procedure. Do you inject insulin, or you have a pump?
I have an insulin pump. I've been on the pump now.
It's in your belt, like?
Yeah, it's just some kind of my waistline here. I've been on the pump now for about 5 years.
That automatically monitors and puts in the
The pump that I have just delivers the insulin. I enter how many carbs I'm having, and then it tells me what I should take, and then I approve it. But my daily routine is basically wake up, and the first thing I do is check my blood sugar. And throughout the day, I'll check my blood sugar anywhere from 10 to 12 times, just pricking my finger. And, you know, before every meal, midday check, before I go to bed, when I wake up, all those different points in the day, and just deliver insulin throughout the day.
A very intrusive routine. That was Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers talking about his diabetes. Are there any Star Wars fans out there? George Lucas broke all box office records with the release of Star Wars in 1977, which he wrote and directed. The success continued with the release of the next two films in the trilogy. Now, George is also responsible for creating the hugely successful series Indiana Jones, played by Harrison Ford. Now, just after graduating from university, George Lucas was drafted for the Vietnam War, and it was during his physical the doctors discovered he had type 2 diabetes. He has lived with the disease, dealt with it successfully, and led a hugely productive and successful life. George Lucas, the diabetic. George, may the Force always be with you. Some of you may remember Dick Clark, founder of the first daily rock and roll show back in the 50s and 60s called American Bandstand. Also, Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. Dick Clark, also a diabetic. He passed away in 2012 at age 82. Also diabetics, singers Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle, and this iconic blues man, B.B. King, now 88 years old and still touring. It's estimated that in his 60-plus years in show business, B.B. King has performed over 20,000 concerts, all this while dealing with diabetes. Amazing. Here's B.B. King on CITR 101.9 FM, and across the NCRA network.
All right, so while we're listening to B.B. King a bit, Dan Yard is here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
Good to be here.
Better late than never. It's a good thing I pre-recorded the show.
Yeah. So I was this is very interesting on diabetes, and I myself am diabetic as part 2 type 2 of a diabetic. So there are things like you can't eat too much sugar, you can't eat too much fat, you can't eat too much salt, for that matter.
Yes, this is why we're trying to present the alternative medicine approach, too, which is coming up in the show here.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people out there who believe that there is a natural cure for diabetes, and there are programs that you can get on. So we're going to touch on that as well.
All right. So you're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're doing the full hour show now on CITR 101.9 FM. We just had Co-op Radio for the first half hour after where Johnny Cash sang the song Walk the Line. And of course, we will be back in a moment.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, you tune into the Community Living Show on the NCRE Radio Networks. Kelly Rayburn on the controls, and along with me is my best friend, Dan Yard. How are you doing?
Pretty good there, Kelly. How's it going today?
Pretty good. All right, so I'm going to play the CD, and that was, of course, Dan Yard and whatever it was.
King of the Blues. Diabetic. Now, we talked earlier about actress Halle Berry getting a diabetes attack while doing a TV show. Actor Tom Hanks came down with diabetes as a result of taking on different acting roles requiring him to gain and lose weight. For example, he packed on 30 pounds to play a baseball coach in the movie A League of Their Own. Then later, he dropped from 225 pounds to 170 pounds for the movie Castaway. Now, CBS News medical contributor Dr. Holly Phillips says that these extreme weight fluctuations could play a role in a person developing type 2 diabetes. Now, here's an interview of Tom Hanks talking to David Letterman about his diabetes.
Wonderful. You look like a kid, for God's
sake. Thank you.
Sakes.
I've been maintaining the temple, Dave. Mm-hmm. I've been maintaining the temple.
Doing a good job.
I went to the doctor, and he said, you know those high blood sugar numbers you've been
yes.
dealing with mm-hmm. since you were 36? Well, you've graduated. You've got type 2 diabetes, young man. So, it's controllable. And
through diet, mostly.
You know, something's going to kill us all, Dave. Yeah. Something's going to kill us all.
Well, good for you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And, by the way, a nice message to others. I suffer from the high blood sugar. Had to go on a special diet myself.
Well, my doctor said, look, if you can weigh as much as you weighed in high school,
mm-hmm.
you will essentially be completely healthy, will not have type 2 diabetes.
Right.
And then I said to her, well, I'm going to have type 2 diabetes because there is no way I can weigh as much as I did in high school.
What did you weigh in high school?
I weighed 96 pounds in high school. And I was a very skinny boy.
Actor Tom Hanks talking about his diabetes in a rather lighthearted way, but also alluding to the fact that keeping one's weight under control, along with a good diet and exercise program, leads to better health overall. In this installment of the Community Living Program today, we are talking today about diabetes, the human condition, the millions of people who suffer from the disease, and the fact that it is an incurable disease. Or is it? If you suffer from diabetes, you are paying the big pharmaceutical companies over $13,000 per year to manage your diabetes. I repeat, to manage your diabetes. Not to cure it, not to eliminate it, but to merely manage the symptoms. Did you know that previously unpublished figures from Public Health England show that over 18,000 patients with diabetes underwent an amputation of some sort between 2007 and 2010, an average of 116 a week. The figures rose to over 21,000 in 2011, equating to 135 a week. This, according to data obtained by the charity Diabetes UK. We are talking about people losing a toe, or part of their foot in minor amputations, or having a foot or part of a leg cut off. Okay, now these are some of the dire consequences of diabetes, in which it reaches out of control proportions. David Andrews is one such man who suffered from diabetes mellitus type 2 and faced an amputation himself. Now, after using medical treatments for about 3 years, he discovered the big lies behind all the big companies of diabetes medications. We've already mentioned the huge profits made by the pharmaceutical companies by merely treating the symptoms. David Andrews decided to look for a better result. A cure. Mr. Andrews, the head chef at a Washington, D.C. restaurant, discovered inspiring work on diabetes by a British doctor by the name of Dr. Roy Taylor, the medical doctor and professor of medicine and metabolism at Newcastle University in England. David Andrews was determined to recreate Dr. Taylor's method and package it into a natural system designed to get rid of diabetes rather than just mask it over. This he did, and he calls it Diabetes Destroyer. Here's David Andrews in his own words.
Let me introduce myself. My name is David Andrews. I'm 51, I'm married with two children, and I'm the head chef at a five-star restaurant near Washington, D.C. Now, I'm going to share my story with you, and honestly, it's a little embarrassing, but it's worth it if it'll help you get free from your disease. You see, a few years ago, I almost lost everything. I'd been suffering from type 2 diabetes for over a decade. I was always a slave to medication and insulin. Heck, I became a chef because I loved food, and now I was stuck eating bland, boring meals. I was a burden on my family, and I was terrified that my kids would end up with my disease. Every single day, I had to prick my finger to test my blood sugar and then give myself painful insulin shots. I was just like 49 million other Americans, stuck on diabetes life support. I was spending about $2,000 per month on insulin. I tried the other diabetes medications that my doctor recommended, like metformin, Actos, or Amaryl. That was a disaster. Metformin and Actos made me feel nauseous all the time, and Amaryl made me fat. My type 2 diabetes was emptying my wallet, and it was destroying my body. I gotta tell you, I felt trapped. You probably felt that way, terrified that your diabetes will make your life worse and worse until it finally decides to kill you. But for me, it was about to get even worse. I'll never forget that day in my restaurant's kitchen. I was understaffed during a Saturday dinner rush. My stress was through the roof. My heart was pounding and the heat was overpowering. I received an order for a medium rare steak, and then my knees, they went weak. The next thing I knew, I woke up in a hospital room. It smelled like bleach, and a beeping heart monitor said I was still alive. My wife was at my side, her eyes red and puffy from crying. When she saw I was awake, she threw her arms around me and then called for the doctor. The doctor came in and explained what happened. "You went into a diabetic coma," he said, "a non-ketotic hyperglycemic hyperosmolar coma. Your blood glucose level was at 1174. If I'd been alone when it happened, I'd be dead. The doctor cleared his throat like he was nervous about telling me something even worse. Because your diabetes is so advanced, he said, we'll need to remove your legs. It's every diabetic's worst fear. Amputation. I could already hear the buzz of the blade and smell the burnt, powdery scent of the saw cutting through bone. Ugh. No, said my wife, absolutely not. I'm sorry, the doctor insisted. We can give him another 10 years to live, but we have to operate within 90 days. Tears glistened in my wife's eyes, and she squeezed my hand tight. She was as terrified as I was.
Well, I'm happy to report that David Andrews is now in good health, has both of his legs intact, and is happy to pass on his program to other diabetes sufferers. So, how did he come clean? What exactly is the diabetes destroyer? Well, David Andrews presents this program in 3 steps. Number 1, jumpstart your insulin factory. In other words, a smart and easy meal plan to provide your body the nutrients you need to help your pancreas to start producing insulin naturally again. Also, removing some bad food habits from your daily diet. For example, did you know that peas and corn should be avoided if you wish to reverse the diabetes process? They contain a lot of starchy sugars. However, adding certain foods, as outlined in David Andrews' Diabetes Destroyer program, helps to stimulate the pancreas. A gluten-free diet is also suggested as it keeps the blood sugar levels balanced in the body. Step 2 in David Andrews' Diabetes Destroyer program, amp up your metabolism. In this step, the insulin absorption in your body will be boosted. And to improve the natural burning process of sugar, an easy 30-second workout is outlined in this step, and adding certain healthy foods and secret nutrients to boost your metabolism and stimulate your pancreas. Step 3 in David Andrews' Diabetes Destroyer program, time your meals. It's not so much what you eat, it's when you eat these specific foods. Did you know by just choosing the suitable time to eat, you can naturally treat diabetes? Now, David Andrews has produced an online Diabetes Destroyer ebook, which outlines his program in detail. Now, again, we at CITR and Co-op Radio are not necessarily endorsing David Andrews' Diabetes Destroyer program, but merely passing on information and at the same time offering choices to people in our audience suffering from diabetes. By the way, Dr. Andrews' program is available online at diabetesdestroyer.com.
All right, we're just going to have to leave it there. Sorry about that, Dan. Sorry about the rest of the shows. We got about, I know you got 12 minutes of that CD there.
That's okay. Hey, we were able to present a lot of information to our listening audience on the subject. Good. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a different program. And we're going to be talking about cancer. Mm-hmm. And we know that cancer touches a lot of people as well.
Absolutely.
We're going to present both sides of the argument again so that people can see that they're who are suffering or know people who are suffering have choices in their lives.
Mm. How are we going to get contact of you? And what's your contact information if they want to contact you?
My email is grooveman, that's GRUVEMAN, _ tunes, TUNES, at live.com. And we are always interested in hearing comments from our audience and suggestions on future shows. Thanks very much for that, Kelly.
All right. And of course, you can also check us out, communityliving show@gmail.com. That's our email address. You have any issues on our show, send them. We'll send them on our show. You can send your email to our email, communityliving show@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Community Living Radio, and on Twitter, @CLiving. Thanks very much, Dan. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks very much, Kelly.
And, of course, stay tuned for other shows that are on the local region of the NCRA Radio Networks. And we'll see you again next week. Take care, everybody.